Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we were just talking about what a beautiful day it is, however, because I can never be completely happy. I had to mention it's August 24th, and then I started to tear up. You know, mm-hmm. I love summer, and I love fall, but I don't like the end of August because we know what's coming, right?
Yes. I actually wrote a song called The Coming of Winter for my 2020 album, so it's really nice to enjoy the summer sun when we still have it.
Totally is. So, really nice to have you here. And I remember last time you were here, I asked you what it's like to be a body-centered psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you remind everybody a little bit about your day job?
Yes. Okay. My other job, which is what allows me to be a professional musician, is I work with the relationship between the emotional heart and the physical heart. Mm. Whenever we feel physical symptoms, whether it's like a headache or reflux or a tension in our chest, there's emotional material just under the surface that we often can't get in touch with. The flip side is when we feel anxious, we might have a knot in our stomach. If we feel depressed, we might feel a heaviness in the heart. So the connection between the emotions and the body is important, and we need emotional safety, which is hard to find in our culture, in order to begin to make the connection to what's underneath so that we can feel it and learn what we really need and learn to express ourselves and heal.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing that you do for people.
I love it. I love helping people. I love making a difference in people's lives. So I'm very grateful to have that as my other work.
Absolutely. And, you know, your passion is music, and you've put together this really, really nice organization called Women in Music Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've been doing that for a couple of years around here.
Yes.
And you're working on expanding down into Florida.
Yes, we're working on trying to plant some seeds to have a Women in Music Gathering group in Florida. Florida is such a gigantic state, it makes it more complicated. We're aiming for an event in Fort Myers sometime in 2020. And there are some wonderful women in music that I know in Florida, but they're like 3 hours from Fort Myers in many different directions. So we're working on trying to figure out how to get a bunch of people together. The idea was initially to have a weekend of concerts, maybe a couple house concerts and something in a major venue where some of the Boston women come down and we bring some Florida women together and do it together. Or maybe even like a little mini conference, which would be a motivation for people to come from different parts of Florida to Fort Myers.
Mm, so you said 2020 is...
2020 is when we're aiming for, yes.
That's right around the corner.
That's why, yes. With an album that's being released on September 1st and a release show on October 13th, I must look at 2020, so...
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. It's called In Grace.
Yes.
And we talked about that was being done last time you were here.
Yes.
But September 1st, everything's right around the corner.
It's literally around the corner. It's next weekend.
Yeah. So excited?
Very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm also very grateful that the album has been getting fantastic reviews. So that always makes me feel good because it takes about a year of work to put everything together. And I always try to create something that's going to reach people. When I get the feedback that people love it, I'm really grateful.
Yeah, and the production quality. I mean, you're very, very careful.
Yes.
Production quality and just, you know, all around quality of the music itself.
Absolutely. Yes, I write, I arrange. I work with Doug Hammer at Dream World Productions and Lynn, who's fantastic. And it's so much fun working together because it's almost like we're psychically linked. Almost never when we're editing do we disagree. And it's like one person says one thing that the other person was about to say. So
we
have a lot of fun. There's a real linkage there.
So when did you start performing and recording your music?
I started performing when I was a kid, actually. My first album came out in the 1980s, and I
didn't know that.
This is my second time around as a professional musician. The first time was in the 1980s in my early 20s, and I had a couple decades hiatus. I call it the undertow of life, which part of it was I became a mom and a single mom. My son's 23, and he just flew in yesterday from California, and it's impossible to support a kid with no child support and be a professional musician.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I was very grateful to be able to get back onto I call it getting back on the horse, but pursue my deepest passion again. And so my six albums that In Grace is number six, I started putting those together in 2014. I was just going to say, and my 2020 album, The Piano, I've already written 10 songs for that one.
My goodness.
Yes.
So I know that In Grace has a lot to do with the global Light Up the Love movement.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that and the whole idea behind In Grace, for the record.
Well, grace is one of the most wonderful qualities. It's a quality I strive to embody. It's a quality I strive to live by. It's a quality I try to bring into my life because grace has, it sort of is bigger than love or peace. It's a whole state of being. Our world could use more grace.
It's kind of hard to actually define and describe what grace is.
It's hard to define. Yeah. I can say when my kitty cats are sleeping or my dog is sleeping, they embody it. Mm-hmm, but it's a quality that definitely brings good things and enriches the heart. And it's very different than a culture of tear down epidemics and gun violence that we're living in today. So it was a theme that I just wanted to bring forward. And the album has some topical songs, like the song Enough, which was featured in Boston Magazine last fall, is about the teardown epidemic, which is becoming more and more relevant, sadly to say. I wrote a song called Tree of Life when the Tree of Life shooting happened as a prayer to end gun violence. Light Up the Love is a positive global movement.
Yes.
Love is the one human superpower we all have. And Jerry Manure, who was from San Diego, who's now in Huntington Beach, started it as a way to help people learn to love themselves, to love other people, and to bring love into the world. And he wrote 17 principles to light up the love. And when I was asked to write the global anthem for the Light Up the Love movement, I incorporated all 17 principles into the song. So it's a great sing-along. It was designed to be a sing-along. And I close a lot of my shows with it and have the whole audience sing along to basically make them global ambassadors of Light Up the Love.
So you don't only do a lot of performing out in the venues that are here. You have a lot of house concerts.
Yes.
Tell us about how that works.
When I moved to Waltham 4.5 years ago, my whole goal was to have a space where we could build music through we could build community through music and arts.
Yeah.
So every month for 4.5 years, and in September actually I have two of them, I have something called the Music Salon, where we begin with a potluck dinner. And then there's a featured, usually visual artist, sometimes author or poet. Oh. And then I do a half an hour opening set, sometimes with a duo partner. And we have a featured musical act. All genres are welcome. And because my house is a modest one, 20 to 25 people is a full house. So people really love it. Some people have said it's their best listening room experience ever, which blew me away because it's my modest little home.
Yeah.
But there's lots of love and people are really welcome there.
And you had one of our good friends there, Lisa Bastoni.
Yes, I love Lisa.
I mean, what can you say about her?
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah. I've got her new record. I want to play something.
Lovely.
Today.
She wrote a beautiful song for her daughter, which I absolutely love.
Is that Beautiful Girl?
Yes, Beautiful Girl.
I can't get enough of that.
That's a gorgeous song.
That's the one
song
I'm going to play.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, I mean, she's so modest.
She is, and she's also a visual artist. When I had I had Lisa Bastoni and Erica Lee, who are both visual artists and are both musical artists, and they're beautiful people. So that was a very special night.
All right, so talking about the new release, In Grace, I want to play the title track and tell us a bit about that song, In Grace.
In Grace is basically a prayer that we learn to live in grace. And, you know, we take down our walls when we need our walls for protection, but they keep us safe, but they also keep us from each other. So it's really a prayer to find healing and to bring love and grace into our lives.
Okay, thank you. All right, so from Linda's brand new record, In Grace, this is the title track right here at WMFO in Medford.
People have hurt us, my heart. Open yours, hold me close. When our hearts come together, it is grace. By my side, at my back, being nourished by my love. When our lives come together, it is grace. Love is a blessing.
WMFO with Linda Grace. I mean, Linda Marks. You could say Linda Grace.
Thank you.
Welcome. That was the title track from In Grace. It sounded like you had somebody singing with you, or did you just double the vocals?
I do all the background vocals on the album, but when I do shows, I have to have other people do it because I can't clone myself.
Well, because you're a human being.
I am a human being.
Can't do it. Those are woodwinds that are accompanying you?
Willie Sordillo plays alto saxophone, and Valerie Thompson plays cello on the track.
Yeah, it's a beautiful accompaniment.
Thank you.
I mean, do you arrange the music?
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
You do?
I do. And one of my favorite things to do is to have Jackie Damski on violin and Valerie Thompson on cello. In fact, a number of my songs on my last album, on this album, and my next album have them. And what I'll do is I'll write a violin part for Jackie, and then Valerie will come in and harmonize to it. And the two of them have amazing chemistry, so it's really fun having them in the studio together.
Linda, what is your background in music theory? How did you learn to do all of this?
It's intuitive.
Is it really?
It was my first language as a child. I didn't talk till I was three, but when I'd see a piano anywhere, because I didn't have one at home, it was like a magnet, and I'd just go there and start writing. And I did go to Yale, and I do have an undergraduate degree in music with honors and distinction.
There you go.
But I don't know that I learned a lot, because it was all about classical music, and as you can see, as a singer-songwriter, that's not what I do. But I basically bought a chord chart when I was 11, and I had enough money to buy my own guitar, and I started learning about chords from the guitar chord chart. And beyond that, it's all intuitive in what I hear.
Do you write the charts by hand, or do you have a piece of software? Or
I have Doug Hammer make my charts. What I do is I make what I call a primitive chart that has the words and the chord changes, and then I play it on the piano, and I give it to Doug, who has the software, and he can just go right into the software and make a real chart for me.
So, you know, a lot of people tell us about their process of writing. Do you hear the whole song in your head and how it's going to be? And
I hear, once I have the song written, I hear the arrangement.
You hear the arrangement.
I do hear the arrangement, and then I go get the people to do it. But in terms of writing songs, they come to me in different ways. Like we're going to be playing my David Ortiz tribute, and when I heard the news that he was shot, what came to me was the words, "Why do we shoot our heroes?" And that touched me deeply, because of what happened to RFK, JFK, MLK. We can make a list of the people who were trying to make a difference for the greater good. So a big part of that song just came right away, words and music. Some songs, the music comes first. Sometimes the words come first, but it's usually together in some sort of way. And sometimes I'll write the song in a day and focus on it. Other times it takes a little more time for the whole thing to percolate.
Gotcha. Now, you're a huge Red Sox fan anyway.
I certainly am, lifelong.
So, yeah. me too. And so we live and die with them.
Yes.
So what do you think about this year? Never mind, let's not talk about it.
Well, I could say a lot about that, but that would take the rest of the show.
And then some.
Yeah, and then some. I just feel sad about it.
Yeah.
And I feel really sad that Chris Sale is injured and that David Price has been struggling.
Now, I saw you were at a game the other day.
I go to a handful of games. Yeah. I'm very grateful when I get to go to a game. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was there too, and it was the last game of the Red Sox-Yankees series.
Yes.
When they had won them all, and then they lost that one. And we were sitting in the grandstands next to a bunch of people that came from New York, and they were very happy that day.
Of course.
I wasn't so happy that day.
No. It's amazing how many people from the different cities come to the games.
Yeah.
You know, Los Angeles Dodgers fans were next to me when I was at the Los Angeles Dodgers, Houston Astros fans, obviously Yankees fans.
Yep. So, David Ortiz, I mean, we all just sort of stopped in our tracks when we heard what happened, and I'm awfully glad to know that, not that it matters, but he wasn't the target of it, but still.
That's actually, I don't believe it.
Okay.
Nobody, I've talked with a number of people that are trying to research what really happened, and I'm very grateful that Bob Holler, who's a wonderful journalist from the Boston Globe, who ended up, when he heard this song, did an article about it, but he's actually trying to find out what really happened, and there's also an article that was in Sports Illustrated earlier this month where someone who's a filmmaker and also a journalist went to the Dominican Republic to try to investigate and came away with more questions than answers.
Okay, so you started to talk about the song.
Yes.
And you know, knowing you as I do and being the Red Sox fan that we've just talked about you are, that had to be a tough one to write, even though you had that line come to your head.
Absolutely. It was painful to write because I actually was talking with my son last night. When he was a teenager, we went to a game and people were allowed to come on the field before the game. And David Ortiz would not turn one kid away. When the security guards were saying, okay, stop seeing the people, David said, no, I'm not going to disappoint one kid.
And why am I not surprised?
Yeah, so that's who he is. And I was devastated when he was shot.
As we all were.
Absolutely.
So this is called Heroes. And it's a tribute to David Ortiz.
Yes.
And when was this recorded?
I recorded it.
Pretty quickly.
Yep. Yeah. And I had no idea it was going to hit the Boston Globe even before I released it. It hit the Boston Globe the day before I was able to send it into CD Baby for release. And I designed the cover the day before I was interviewed for the Boston Globe.
And is this you solo on there? Do you have some other folks playing with you?
I have Valerie Thompson on cello. I'm on piano, lead vocal, and backup vocal harmonies with Valerie Thompson on cello.
Okay, everybody. This is Linda Marks. It's called Heroes. It's a tribute to David Ortiz at WMFO.
Children, how does this shape our lives? Real leaders to end hatred. Heroes.
It's WMFO. Mike here with Linda Marks. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike.
We just heard Heroes, a tribute to David Ortiz, you know, and we're talking here in the studio as it's playing. It's just a hard time for all of us, but I was saying to Linda that I appreciate that musicians will and still continue to speak to what's going on through the music, and that's about.
Yes, thank you. And in some ways, I feel like it's one of the ways we have a voice on behalf of the greater good. I happened to be on WMWM last weekend, and Denny Lane, who founded the Moody Blues and Wings, was on as well.
Yeah.
And he was talking as well about those of us who are singer-songwriters are sort of called to speak to what's going on in the world and try to do something to make it better.
Yes. So just to remind everybody, that was from your new record. Well, that wasn't, but we're talking about your new record, In Grace, coming out right around the corner September 1st, and you're having the record release in one of my favorite rooms.
Yes, I love the Burren, yes.
Such a great place
to
go.
Absolutely, and Tom Bianchi is fantastic. Yep. He's really an amazing person. So yes, October 13th at noon,
at
the back room at the Burren, is the In Grace release show, and Three at Home will open.
Yep.
They're wonderful, too.
Yep.
And I'm going to have a full band. I have at least 9 people performing with me.
That's a small stage, Linda. What are you going to do with that?
I manage. I don't have them all at the same time, but I do sometimes have 6 on, although at the end when we do the finale, we'll probably have everybody on stage.
So tell me about the 9 instruments, the instrumentation.
Okay. So I have piano, which I play sometimes, but I sometimes like to step away from the piano, particularly on covers, and Doug Hammer plays piano, so there's Doug Hammer.
Now, is it a piano that's there, or do you bring an electric?
I'm bringing my stage piano.
Okay.
Yeah, because they don't have an acoustic piano. So Doug Hammer, I'm going to have Dave Birkin on saxophone and flute. I'm going to have Woody Carpinella on guitar, Jackie Damski on violin, Valerie Thompson on cello, Yanni Bateau on banjo, Yana Maria Furlick on harp on Light Up the Love. I'm having Michael Ball on bass. Mickey Matsuki on drum. And I just discovered a 17-year-old singer-songwriter whose name is Elliot Wren, who I'm going to bring up to do a verse of Imagine. And there's probably going to be someone else. Either Yana or Jackie might do some of my backup vocals, or I might have another person to do backup vocals with me.
Wow. I'm so excited I'm going to be there.
I'm excited you're going to be there, too.
And I'm so excited that I'm not the sound guy. Because that's not an easy thing to do.
No, that's a completely different thing than just getting to enjoy the concert.
It is. Okay, so that's at the Barn, October 13th. If you can go, too, I think there's some tickets still available.
We still have tickets available, and we moved the time to noon this week. It had been at 7:30, but the Burn had a conflict that made them have to bump it. But I think noon is a good time because it's brunch, and the Burn does a fantastic brunch. And now it's family-friendly, so if people want to bring their kids, which I think is a really good thing. When my son was young, I'd always take him to live music.
And what day of the week is that?
It's a Sunday brunch.
Okay. There you go. I was worried because if it's Saturday.
No, it's a Sunday. I know. Believe me. I had to do a couple swaps of people that played on the album because of the time change who couldn't play it. But thank God I've had other musicians play with me, and there are lots of fantastic musicians to play with.
Absolutely. Sunday at noon is a good time.
Yeah, I think it is a good time.
All right. So speaking of In Grace and your, you know, socially conscious music and message, I don't have to tell anybody what this is about. It's called Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just continuing on about what's going on in the world around us.
Yeah.
And I know you wrote this, obviously, in reaction to what happened to Tree of Life. And how did that song come about?
When I heard the news about that shooting, something broke in my heart. I mean, I felt the same way when Emmanuel Church had the shooting in South Carolina, because houses of worship, they really deserve to be sacred spaces where violence does not come through. So the song literally just started writing itself when I heard the news of what happened.
Hmm. And how do you decide that a song like that can fit on something like In Grace?
Well, it's very much in the theme of In Grace because it's a prayer to end gun violence.
Yeah.
And given that a lot of the songs on In Grace are about either what's happening in the world or how to make the world a better place or relationships or inspiration, I think the message of never again, which is what's in the song, is a really important message, and it's part of In Grace.
Absolutely. And so from In Grace, this is Tree of Life. It's Linda Marks, WMFO.
Tree of life, in this sacred sanctuary are the guardians and the keepers of our souls. Here we pray, here we gather together in the shelter and the light that makes us whole. How can it be that a Holocaust survivor found refuge from hatred on this ground? And then now, lost her life in 97, she was gunned down in the safest place she'd found. And children cry as loved ones die. In Charleston, South Carolina, as Emmanuel Church members came to pray, Dylan Roof stormed the room and opened fire. 9 precious people lost their lives that day. And people cried, a preacher. On earth begin with me. May we all join together in the spirit of compassion, rebuild this broken world, set us free. As we look back, may we not forget these losses. May gunshots stop claiming human lives. Can we see pain mixed with hopeless isolation? Fuels desperate acts for healing, we must strive. And we all ask why, don't let more people die. Please stop, listen, my friend. Never again.
Never again, indeed. It's Linda Marks from the In Grace CD, Tree of Life. You know, I'm sorry that you had to write that song.
So am I.
But, you know, yeah. So this record is coming out very soon on September 1st. It is available wherever fine music is sold. I have a link on the Facebook post to the Apple Store.
Thank you.
You could buy it there. Oh, my pleasure. And it's going to be on Apple Store as of September 1st.
Yes.
And that great show at noon at the Barn on October 13th. I'm really excited about that one. I mean, the instrumentation is just making me like, wow, I can't wait to see and hear that.
Thank you.
So that's going to be awesome.
It's a true joy doing an album release show because it's the only time that I can have everybody who's on an album and all the arrangement played because I can't afford to do it.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a lineup.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So let's both talk about one more time our friend Lisa Bastoni and talk about her new record and this song I'm going to play to start the new noise.
Yes. Well, I was just saying to you a moment ago, it's she and I have similar stories and that we were professional musicians and then we had to step out. We had children. God bless her for being back after 10 years and her kids are still little. So God bless her for doing it. Yeah. But her song about her daughter, Beautiful Girl, is so poignant and such a beautiful message. I love that song.
And it's not only the lyrics. I mean, she has a way with melody. It's just... and it seems effortless, which is, you know, the mark of a real professional. So, Linda, thank you so much for coming in today and gracing us with In Grace.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the support for the album.
I can't wait to come out to the barn. And let's tell everybody what we're talking about with Lisa Bastoni. She's got a brand new record here that I'm going to play as new noise. It's called How We Want to Live. And this is that beautiful song about her beautiful girl. Thank you again, Linda.
Thank you.
This is Lisa Bastoni and New Noise at WMFO.
A girl in the woods with a knife and a loaf of bread comes upon a pack of wild, hungry dogs. She'll use the knife to cut the bread, making sure they're all fed, and maybe save a little for herself. 'Cause it's alright to be gentle, and it's alright to be kind, and it's alright to be brave and scared. I want you to know that I love you more than anything in the world. I want you to know that you're a beautiful girl. And when you were a baby and I held you in my arms, sometimes we'd look out at the stars together. To the moon and back I said, I tell you now so you won't forget, so you'll remember when the going gets harder. 'Cause it's alright to be gentle, and it's alright to be kind, and it's alright to be brave and scared. I want you to know that I love you more than anything in this world. I want you to know that you're a
forever. Some things bring me right back. The feel of oiled leather, the smell of fresh cut grass. A perfect sun is shining on a perfect Saturday. That's my kid out on the diamond, getting ready to play. broken heart all season, just trying to get a piece. The obsession's only deepened. It's all he eats and breathes and sleeps. Most nights when I get home, he's waiting out in our backyard, and he begs me, Daddy, just a one more pitch, even though it's getting dark. Life's a little like a baseball game. Ain't the score, it's how you play. You win some, you lose some, that's a fact. No matter where you go or what you do, I'll always be proud of you. Whenever you strike out, I got your back. But you'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat. We've talked about the butterflies that he gets when he's on deck. Now he's staring in the pitcher's eyes, and I'm praying he connects. He might foul a few into the stands before his time is up. To me, he looks just like a hitter who could use a little love. Life's a little like a baseball game. Ain't the score, it's how you play. You win some, you lose some, that's a fact. No matter where you go or what you do, I'll always be proud of you. Whenever you strike out, I got your back. But you'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat. Bottom of the fifth, a runner on second base. I slapped his back and bumped his fist as he walked up to the plate. Then I held my breath, the pitcher threw, and it all seemed so unreal to see a ball so white and the sky so blue. On its way to center field, you win some, you lose some, that's a fact. No matter where you go or what you do, I'll always be proud of you. Whenever you strike out, I got your back. But you'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat. I'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat. We'll be right back.
WMFO Medford with the wonderful Solomon Burke. rounding out a five-song set from a record called Proud Mary the Bell Sessions. That was I'll Be Doggone. Wow, haven't played Solomon Burke in a while. That was cool. Buddy and Julie Miller. I first got acquainted with them when I lived in New York, and I saw them at the Bottom Line. That is from the title track of a record called Breakdown on 20th Ave South. They're a really unique folk duo. And their music is, you can tell by their voices who they are right away. Teenage Fan Club, just before that, from 2010 Shadows CD, that was Baby Lee. Reading, Massachusetts' own Marcarelli, a brand new record called The Hitter, that was the title track. And Lisa Bastoni, her brand new record is called How We Want to Live, and that was Beautiful Girl, beautiful song, Kirsten's here. Kirsten, you were here when Lisa was here, and she led off with that song. In Studio D, you know, and it's just so beautiful.
Well, and I just actually received her new CD, so I haven't listened to it yet. First I've heard of it. I'm very excited.
Oh, my God. Well, you've got to play some, too, today.
Yeah, so I'm playing some Lisa Bastoni. I'm actually playing also her friend Jess Hardy and Janae Halstead, and then our friend Tori Silver. So lots of our local friends and people who have upcoming shows. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're getting to meet our friend Linda, too, who was here. And maybe you'll be on Something About the Women one of these days, too.
I love having guests on.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and thank you so much. I'm holding Linda's CD in my hand. Hello.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing this afternoon.
Thank you.
Yeah, when you hear the show, you hear about the instrumentation that she's got lined up for the record release party. It's nine instruments on stage at the Burren, but not all at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Burren can handle it.
And she goes, I got it handled.
It's fine. Sound, yeah.
Yes.
I arrange for a lot of different instruments, and the only time I get to have the full arrangements is when I do an album release. So I usually do, you know, duo, trio kind of stuff.
Yes.
But it's really, really nice to have everybody.
It really is, because as somebody who listens to a lot of music, we hear the other instrumentation, and then a lot of musicians are playing duo, trio, and you're like, where are these other magical instruments coming from? So it is nice when you see everybody on stage, you're like, oh.
Yes.
And it also speaks to the collaboration of the musicians in our community.
Absolutely.
We have
a fantastic community, and we have fantastic musicians. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful for every single musician I collaborate with.
That's great to hear.
All right, so stick around, everybody. Kirsten's coming up at the top of the hour with Something About the Women. And let me play a couple more songs to get you there. I want to start with some new noise from one of my favorite bands that I found over the years of doing this, called Milky Chance. They have something new called Daydreaming. This is new noise at WMFO right here in Medford.
A 100 days I don't wanna see. During day I just can't believe.
Just passing.